Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 29, Episode 2 of Down and Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah?
For May 1st, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. She said she wants Miles Gray, some Jack O'Brien, a little Anna. We'll definitely set this daily zeitgeist. Yeah. That is courtesy of Kason J, at Transietio. On Twitter, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Baby, when you finally get to love somebody, guess what? It's gonna be Gray!
Thank you for everybody who I think was badgering me since, I think, like, months ago to do a It's Gonna Be May and Sync one, and look, I obliged. So thank you. And guess what? It's
there.
May.
Are you happy?
There. Are you happy?
The real, like, passive aggressive, yeah. Like, following through on fan service requests.
Yeah. There. Yeah, I hope you like that, AKA you suggested that I ask for all the time.
Assholes. Well, happy May Day, everybody. Happy birthday to my eldest. He is 2 today. Yep.
Look at you. Son turning 2 like a shortstop.
Yeah, exactly. Congrats. Was I not supposed to talk yet? Sorry.
No, you're...
Wow, perfectly. You fucked that up. Okay. Well,
take it from the top, Nick. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Biniam Bazune.
Hello.
What's up, man?
I'm great. How are you?
We're thrilled to have you. What does a talented, funny guy like you have in his search history? What have you searched most recently?
Okay, I'm going to say 2 things. One, yesterday, one of my friends, she posted an Instagram story where she was like, I logged into Musical.ly for the first time in a couple months and realized I have over 100,000 followers. Here's a couple greatest hits. And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
This girl is not a performer. She just, like, I guess did this on her off time. And then I looked at, if you guys don't know what Musical.ly is, it's like Twitter, except all you do is lip sync to music.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And then you move the camera like really annoyingly. And
yeah, if you can,
like,
get that working, that's how you become a real, is it Musical.ly or Musical.ly?
Musical.ly.
Whatever. It's, or whatever it's it is. It's music, spelled like
music.ly.
Musica.ly.
Yeah. And shoot, I searched it because I was just like, what?
Yeah.
And it's
what's her username on there?
It's Sophia Grace Honey, H-U-N-N-Y. And I wasn't able to look at it on a laptop because I think you maybe have to have the app to view it. And then I went on this whole like rabbit hole of seeing people who become famous through Musical.ly. And it's a lot of people. It's like a new discovery thing. It's like the new Vine or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is like the new Vine. And like, can't you tip them live like it's a Switch or...
Twitch?
Twitch.
Okay, Pappy.
What is it, your Switch? Your Nintendo Twitch?
I mean, you know how...
fuck you.
You know how...
The funny thing is we're only a couple years apart.
I feel like it's getting up there as a platform to the point where Donald Glover is going to use it to release some sad notes.
I thought Musical.ly was washed, though. I thought it was done.
Is it? Is it done?
I don't know. I remember it when it was peak, like 2 years ago, probably, because I remember when I was making digital content, like everyone was like, "Oh, that's the things kids love." But that was years
ago. And it's pure lip syncing. You can't like lip-syncing. Be a talented musician.
Well, no,
like,
no.
That's the thing is, can you just go on there and just be like, leave a thing with no music?
No, I think you have to be with a song because the whole point is just to like act out. I mean, look, probably some young person will correct me, but from my understanding is like, yeah, you're just sort of lip syncing and then you have those options of like recording it slow so then you can play back quicker so everything's more dramatic. And, you know, that app, they say that in the Kendrick Lamar Humble video, there's like a shot on this automated crane arm that's right. Like a very expensive shot because like
dope shot
from production standpoint, that shot must have cost a lot of money because that arm they use is like programmed. Anyway, yeah. There's a scene in the video where it looks like he's trying to do the Musical.ly type shit with the camera like going around him, and that's like a nod to Musical.ly. So yeah, that's, I mean, maybe it's
like,
not washed.
Kendrick's just like, let me get a nod to Musical.ly.
Yeah,
Musical.ly.
I love it.
What else do you have in your search history? You said you wanted to give us two.
Oh, this is just crazy. No one's going to be able to find this link because I only found it because I was looking at like Deadpool 2 news. But
and you screenshotted it?
Yeah, and I screenshotted it. And they still haven't changed it. So there's a website. It's called ageofthenerd.com. And its headline is 20th Century Fox releases a NEGA ton of Deadpool 2 images. So 20th Century Fox releases a negaton of Deadpool 2 images. And I just couldn't stop laughing at this because it's been like 3 days and it's still not corrected. And it just is like, how much is a negaton?
Yeah.
You know, that's like one of those questions that the owl from the Tootsie Roll commercial asks.
Right.
How many tons in one negaton?
Negaton. I don't know.
An offensive amount of pictures. Yeah.
How many negas you can fit in a Volkswagen? We don't know.
I mean, it does sound like it sounds like a lot. So maybe it's on purpose.
I don't know where they...
A negaton sounds like more than a megaton.
Well, I mean, as I search it, it sounds like a negatively charged electron.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's probably a real word.
Yeah, no, it's in Wiktionary, so I don't know if that's a thing, but look, and I hated chemistry and all that shit, so don't ask me about valence electrons.
Yeah. But Wiktionary is where most scientists go to
define
things once and for all.
Scott Pruitt's favorite website.
Benny, what is something you think is overrated?
So you guys have probably covered this about Kanye and the tweets and stuff.
No,
but
what's going on?
But here's my position on it. Since when do we care what our rappers' political beliefs are? Like, John Lennon was like an anarchist, and I'm still listening to Imagine. Like,
right.
Who cares?
You know, people brought that up about Morrissey too. Like, this isn't new to artists with fucked political views.
Yeah,
I think the problem is, you know, his music, like, is nearly antithetical to like this shit leading up to this point. Seemed diametrically opposed to what Donald Trump stood for. So it's like, wait, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, I don't think he's making any good points. Like, I listened to that T.I. song. I think it's trash.
Yeah.
It's not even, like, it's a cool format to be like, we're having a conversation over a beat, but it's bad. I hope it's not on the album.
No.
And also, Kanye doesn't come up with any good counterpoints.
No.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday.
We talked about this yesterday. It's like, he did us all a favor because we were like, well, like, maybe he's going to come out with, like, something we haven't thought about before because he's on some, like, next level shit and, like, has lost his mind and then put it back together. Maybe he has like some crazy new way that, you know, the MAGA hat makes sense. But then he just like gave all the like washed shitty points that like conservatives make when they first like come around to that way.
Right.
I mean,
everyone's like,
It mostly seemed like he was just saying like T.I. would be like, don't you know that if you support a person who has like
T.I. was being logical.
And then Kanye was just like, I'm a free thinker. It's like, what is that?
No, you didn't answer my question, my man. Don't you feel you have a responsibility to people because of your platform? Hey, man, I took the MAGA hat, give it empathy and love. Yeah. No, shut the fuck up.
So here's the thing I think is overrated is that I don't think his wearing a MAGA hat is going to have an effect on actual politics. Like, I, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think, like, Donald Trump's now going to have all these black people supporting him because Kanye wore this hat.
But the problem is you start seeing in his comments, there are people of color starting because they are such Kanye fans and they are divorced from the reality of politics and oppression in this country that they're like, they're just standing for Kanye.
Yeah, well, they're like, let him
do that or whatever. And that's not good because you don't want to say, yo, let this person's like alignment with someone who's racist, let that rock. Nah, I can't stand for that.
I'm torn because there's a part of me that's like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to listen to his music. If he wants to say that, let him say whatever, you know? And I'm like, I understand maybe they are on the same side as me where they don't think the ramifications are that much or that.
Well, I think it has an effect for people who might not be as educated on things that if Kanye West is your source of like understanding things, because think about how like people like her crack music were like, oh my God, have you heard crack music? And I'm like, yeah, have you read a book? But at the same time, you know, like when you have someone like that, people listen to him and that can disarm people from actually really understanding how nuanced this whole thing is. But I agree to your point that Kanye does have very little effect, I think, on the greater picture. But to his fans, I see something that's potentially not great. And also, did you see the behind the scenes that he put out to the People versus Ye or Ye
no,
versus People?
No, I didn't see it.
Like T.I. was like, they show like a conversation T.I. had with him and he's like, what the fuck is going on? And Kanye is like, look, I don't agree with half the shit he does. And then so T.I. is like, okay, well, what's the shit that you like exactly? Because I'm not understanding.
I like
it.
That he's like me, same personality. We both loud.
No, well, the thing, the basis was he's just essentially like the fact that everyone told Donald Trump he couldn't be president, and he did. And he's a living Adidas commercial. Impossible is nothing. So I think he was just like, he did the impossible, and that's what I fuck with. And then he was like, I wore the MAGA hat to show like I can wear it and transform it. It's about equality and like I can wear it too. And it's like, no, people don't, it's not that black people are dying to wear a MAGA hat and it's people of color just feel like, oh, we don't have access to that or like we can't wear it. That is just a symbol of a part of our culture that we do not vibe with. So why the fuck would we want to wear that? There's not people out here being like, hey man, I wish I could get a Klan hood.
Here's a real question. All these people who are like pissed at Kanye and da 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 and you disappointed me. I think all of them are still going to listen to his album.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I will. And I'm pissed at him.
The thing is, his politics are just whack. That's why I'm like, I'm done. Like, we don't need to give this guy the kind of weight to what he's saying because he's like every other person who doesn't understand.
Totally.
And the only problem is he has a platform to do it, and that's why we have to talk about it.
And if his album has any of the political content that his second song, the Ye versus the People song, if it has any of that in the songs, then I will listen to his album exactly once. And then I won't listen
I'll
to it again
it
because I can't deal with that. Like, it's the same shit with, like, on Life of Pablo. There are some songs that are fucking great, but the ones where he's, like, rapping about, like, getting bleach on his t-shirt
from someone's
fucking
asshole.
A porn star in the ass. It's just, like, so, I don't know, man. It's like, man, you're a little bit lost. I don't know. But
he's lost his north.
Yeah.
Not his child. But his true north.
I mean, that song's so frustrating because it's like, it's really cool music.
So good. So you know?
Honestly, the most fire shit, and I'll say this again, was Lift Up or Lift Us Up or whatever. Yeah, this way. Oh, here comes Nick with it.
Woo! Boopity scoop. Scoopity whoop.
I mean, this is hilarious.
I do.
This shit knocks to me.
Yeah.
And I like it because, you know what? Yay, the thing is, your genius comes out when you don't intend to use it.
Right.
Because you could literally probably create a rap album of all gibberish.
Right.
And I would probably rock that.
Because the beats would be so good.
That's how he recorded. So there was a journalist who went about 5 days before he was going to release Late Registration, his second album. And they were like listening to a demo. And they said half of the tracks were him just basically doing that. Like him being like, la da da da.
Like rhythmic.
Da 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 da. Because he hadn't filled in the lyrics yet. He just knew how he wanted it to sound. Yeah. So like, yeah, I mean
that's what a good
he's an artist.
He's trying to be musical, rhythmic.
But like, don't fill that shit in with stuff about how you love a underdog story.
The actual
and
lyrics is just like MAGA hat, MAGA my MAGA, I love my hat.
Exactly.
And it's just like, whoa, still bad. Okay.
Right. what's something that's underrated?
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone remembers this movie. This came out in like 2013-ish. Starred Aubrey Plaza. It's called The To Do List. It's a pretty much female version of Superbad in the sense that it's like a teenage girl, she wants to lose her virginity and she has like a to-do list literally of like, I want to like, and there's sexual things like, I want to try this, I want to try that, I want to try that. And it's and like Don Glover's in it and some other cool people are in it. And it's such a funny movie. And for some reason it didn't get pushed out And I just want to recommend people to watch it because it's hilarious. And
yeah, where can you find it?
I don't even know. Probably
people know how Google works.
iTunes.
Yeah, you
can. It's probably on some streaming.
I mean, you can definitely rent the shit out of it pretty much anywhere. But yeah, I don't know where it's for free.
But yeah, and all this stuff that like people, are, you know, like female sexuality should be the same as like male sexuality. Females should be able to do whatever. Like that movie was all that like before. Whatever, like Blockers. Is
okay,
out
and then Maggie,
Blockers is great too.
Yeah, I love. I was just talking about that yesterday. Saw
my friend
twice.
Is in Blockers, by the way.
Who your friend?
He plays Jake Donahue, the Asian dude.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That's like my best friend, Andrew Lopez.
Nice.
Go see Blockers.
Yes, we talked about him yesterday. Actually,
really? What'd you say?
No, we didn't want to spoil it, but we talked about how he just wanted to get his dance on with his light up shoes.
Right. And then when he has that scene, and this doesn't ruin anything, when he has his second scene, when he's talking to him, he's being real, it's kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, it is.
Like, have you ever like had someone ruin your moment?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Guys, check it out. We'll see. Yeah. Now I'm going to watch it because
our official review of the Avengers is go see Blockers.
Oh, I did just see Avengers last night.
How was it?
Have you guys not seen it?
No, we haven't seen it yet.
I was into it. Yeah. You know? Okay. It was definitely not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
And it did a good job. It was really funny.
Oh,
the jokes are great.
Good jokes.
I heard they brought in James Gunn to like help with the
and Taika Waititi, I think, too, right?
Probably, yeah. And they did a great job.
Yeah, the Thor movie was funny as fuck.
I'm gonna rent that tonight.
Ragnarok. All right, man. What's a myth? What's something people are saying?
As an Ethiopian person, this is a myth that's been going around forever and ever, and it's that Ethiopian people are starving. I mean, we first of all know this isn't true because there's like a whole row.
Ethiopian people are starving.
There's a whole row of Ethiopian restaurants that people go to, and the joke everyone always makes is like, Ethiopian food? I thought that was the problem. Like, right. that's the go-to. But just the idea, like, I know so many fat Ethiopians, okay? I can count 12 uncles off top. Every fat Ethiopian is shaped like the dude from Despicable Me.
Yeah, you know? I mean, Ethiopian food is not light.
You can just tell, like, they weren't meant to be chubby because, like, it'll be, like, skinny arms, skinny legs, they just are all concentrated like the Despicable Me dude. So all I'm saying is there's lots of Ethiopians out there with a little extra cushioning, and we're not all
sticks. I mean, case in point. Binyam has not stopped eating since we've been in the studio. So when you hear that shit on the mic, he's eating, I think, pretty much a
mixed
whole thing
nuts.
Of Planters mixed nuts before he was having a clementine. The man is absolutely not starving.
Before that, I had
cereal with some blueberries.
I mean, I don't know if this might hurt our premise because it looks like I was starving before I got here.
It does look like you came in here and we're like, I'm so hungry.
Yeah, you came in. You didn't even come up and say hi. I just heard the refrigerator open. I'm like, who's that down there in my refrigerator?
That's how comfortable I feel with you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
And
it's a family.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because also, man, like, fucking Ethiopian food is amazing.
Oh, it's amazing.
And Jared, like, y'all eat everything with just sourdough flatbread.
I mean, it's green, you know, no silverware.
Yeah.
We don't have to wash, saving water.
Yeah.
Also, if you guys want a recommendation for a place to go in Little Ethiopia, I recommend Mesob, M-E-S-S-O-B, or Meals by Genet, which is G-E-N-E-T.
For a non-LA listener, what's just like a dish? What's an Ethiopian dish they should start on?
Okay. That what?
I would say, well, if you're can eat meat, dorowat, which it means chicken sauce, chicken stew. If you can't eat meat, then miserwat, which is kind of like a chickpea stew. Really good as well.
Damn. Hey, now what's a bad word you can tell me in Ethiopian?
Because
I like to get in trouble.
This isn't really like a bad word, but it's just like, this is...
Like, what's
one.
Like fuck or
here's,
shit or something?
Here's how to say like ass face or ass head, like kitras.
Kitras.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You got the hard K.
Yeah,
you got it.
Hey, brother, you know what I'm saying? I listen to a lot of Ethiopian music.
There's a lot of people who can't do that noise. That,
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do it again.
Kitra.
Kitras.
Kitras.
Yeah, you got it, man.
I mean, look, brother, you know what I'm saying? I'm half black.
You got the melanin.
So it's in there. It's
in
there.
Got the melanin.
It's in there.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into the stories of the day. We're trying to take a sample of the global shared consciousness, what people are thinking and talking about right now in this country mostly, but also outside of it. And we wanted to just continuing on from a story from yesterday. The mainstream media is continuing to speak truth to power by criticizing a female stand-up comedian for saying stuff that's way less offensive than the stuff they let most powerful men get away with, and especially the most powerful man in the world get away with. But we have this statement from Michelle Wolf. She was like, fuck off, I think was her exact statement. I just admire her. She was just like, fuck it, man. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, and the White House course, I mean, the WHCA kind of walked it back. I mean, like, it wasn't in the spirit of the thing. Yeah. But you know what? Come on. What the fuck did you expect? You hire a comedian to roast people.
Booked her with the specific description that she is like the voice of this moment because she speaks truth to power.
Yeah.
So like that's what she did, and then they were like, "Oh, we wanted this to be about inclusiveness and supporting."
Meanwhile, the theme is like celebrating the First Amendment.
What's crazy is she killed for like all of it and had so many funny jokes, and the one thing they focus on is like she was mean to Sarah Huckabee Sanders because of her makeup, and it's like she complimented her makeup.
Yeah, right.
Well, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
I mean, that smoky eye was on point.
Yeah.
The Sarah Huckabee Sanders thing, as much as, yeah, there were two jokes that might have been about her appearance.
The softball thing?
The softball thing and the Aunt Lydia thing, which...
I didn't even think it was funny as fuck.
See,
I feel like that was such an inside reference. I didn't like that joke because you had to watch that show to get it.
If you have watched Elitist. It, though,
that felt
as fuck.
That did feel like a that was a coastal wow. elitist yeah. joke.
Check your Hulu privilege, Michelle Wolf, because I'm out here with no Hulu
You're gonna assume everyone watching, first of all, has Hulu, and then second of all, watched The Handmaid's Tale. It's like so much to
that's
to
that need. Venn diagram overlap, very specific. But in that room. It makes sense.
And I feel like they couldn't have been that offended because none of them have seen the show.
No, they just didn't like that they got the smoke and it hurts, so you got to find a reason to get mad.
Yeah.
I get it. Look, you don't know how to take a joke. It's like when, you know, you flame the kid at school who's like, well, the teacher.
Yeah.
Look.
But the media got mad because they also got made fun of.
Yeah, and they also need to also pretend like it was offensive, too, to maintain their relationships, to have access to some of these politicians.
Yeah. Like, hey, she's our friend. She lies to us every day and then, like, demeans us and belittles us. And
but
is
we're
like,
okay
that's
with
stupid.
That.
It was so weird to me that the New York Times, like Maggie Haberman even.
Yeah, fuck
like,
Maggie Haberman.
Well, Maggie Haberman, she's her whole deal is to get, she has to kiss ass to get access and all, you know, we don't have to talk about her, the shit she wrote during the election either. But anyway.
It's May Day.
May Day, May Day. Yeah, May Day.
Why is that a thing we say when the ship is going down?
I don't know, actually. Someone will tell
because
us.
Because we're capitalists, man.
Oh, man, when the ship goes down, you better be ready. Well, look, these are like rallies that have gone back since, I think, the 1880s, which was really, at the time, was about labor movements and campaigning for the safety for working people and pulling up the trade unions and things like that. And the date, apparently, was chosen as it coincided with the anniversary of the Haymarket Affair in Chicago, where police killed four people at a peaceful protest after someone threw a bomb into the crowd. And today, now... it's really about trade unions and human rights campaigners talking about, you know, just bringing awareness to the struggle of working people and just, you know, shouting everybody out because, look, we are the people that make the world go around, not the elites at the top.
Right.
And it's crazy because around the world, it is lit. Like in Paris, like I'm just looking at a photo. They're fucking up a McDonald's. That's not necessarily the point of the protests in how they celebrate May Day in France. But I mean, there are things going on everywhere. Cuba, Pakistan, Turkey, Russia, Ukraine, Greece, Bangladesh, Hong Kong, India. Like everybody is out here just, you know, getting in the streets, talking about workers.
Yeah, workers rallies.
Yeah.
Why is this the first time I've ever heard of that? Because I'm an elitist cuck.
Yeah.
Soy boy.
Yeah.
A soy boy?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that one.
Yeah. Soy boy, yeah.
Where does that come from?
That's how the alt-right talks about, like, liberals.
Oh, because you're, like, too much of a pussy to eat meat? Is that what it means?
Yeah, you eat so much soy and it makes you all feminine, you know what I mean?
Soy boy, growing boobs.
Yeah.
You old...
What's funny is, like, all the alt-right, like, insults, I love them.
Yeah,
like, that's why I'm like, yeah, I'm a cuck, bruh.
Cuck is just such a good word because it's like... Cuck.
Yeah,
like just the way you say it.
Syllables.
It's like the only like word that's like more satisfying to say than fuck.
I'm trying
to
think of like another one that involves a vegan food, like Saitan No Man.
No, but see, that actually requires experience with vegan food, which none of those people I think have.
Right.
They don't know about this.
They just know soy milk, so they're like soy boy. Yeah.
Yeah, and also not to mention because May Day, the people in Puerto Rico are also in the streets too, because as we have we've mentioned here, but we will have to continue to mention, the situation has not really improved in Puerto Rico since Hurricane Maria hit in September. And again, we have to remember these are American citizens that we are neglecting. Now, if this was fucking Rhode Island or Connecticut that had no fucking power for however many months, oh, we would be up in arms. But because this is in an island and we're looking, talking about brown people,
yeah,
there is not much of an emphasis on their struggle right now. And a lot of it has to do, too, is because, you know, Puerto Rico, because they're a commonwealth, the mainland government here has basically big daddy done been like, look, we're going to have to figure out how to get rid of your debt. You can't do that alone. So we're going to tell you how to do it. So Congress set up like a financial oversight board, which basically was just going to tell Puerto Rico how to handle their spending. And that basically caused a bunch of protests as well, because it's like just this overreach of our government. And, you know, they're pushing measures like doubling tuition at universities or cutting people's pensions or consolidating government agencies and reforming labor laws. Like, it's just a lot of bullshit to save money that really strips away the humanity of the Puerto Rican.
It's like someone's house burns down and you go and you're like, all right, let's restructure your finances.
Right.
Instead of being like, yo, man, you need a place to sleep.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And like, not to mention that, you know, a lot of the struggles of the Puerto Rican economy has been exacerbated by the government over here and Wall Street as well, who is like packaging up, you know, selling bonds and things like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are just saying, like, you know, one solution would be like, can't we just like forgive Puerto Rico's debt? Like, I mean, like, what's the problem? The problem is, because money rules the fucking world, there is a lot of investors, like mutual funds, pension funds, they are basically tied up in a lot of these bonds. So fucking those up would mean losses for some of these people who are these investors. So again, you know, let's just please look at the solutions. I know some people, you know, want to talk about statehood for Puerto Rico or independence. I mean, those are kind of very complex roads to go down. But at the very least, we need to begin treating Puerto Rico like they are Americans. And not to mention, the last time the U.S. bombed their own people was in Puerto Rico in 1950. Okay. So let's
be real. This is just a kind of like basic question about capitalism. But why every year do, I think nations feel the same way too, and all companies, you have to post growth and profit. Why can't you be equal each year? Why does it have to be constantly growing? I don't get that.
That's a good question, man. When I was at Crack, that was a thing. Like, we hit a level and we were like, man, we're way bigger than we'd ever expected to be. Like, this is great. And then the people we answered to were like, all right, so we're going to project like 30% growth. And it's like, no, that actually hurts us and makes us overextend. But like, yeah, there's no plan beyond just grow.
I mean, homeostasis is not an option.
Right.
Well, it's not. Like, looking at this, when it says like they can't forgive the debt because that would mean posting a loss. Oh my God.
Yeah.
It doesn't even mean like an over, it just means probably like a smaller growth.
Right.
It doesn't even actually mean a loss.
There's plenty of money, but again, because
negative growth.
We are a capitalist country, you know what I mean? That's just how the shit works. And,
see?
You know, and that's another thing, too, is that, like, you know, people like Steny Hoyer from Maryland are talking about, like, this really isn't in line with the beliefs of the country as, a democratic republic, as it were, because we are treating Puerto Ricans like subjects of an empire rather than citizens.
Yeah.
And that's another huge thing to look at.
They
is like
they can't vote either, can they?
No.
Not in our mainland elections.
Not in federal elections,
so,
yeah.
Which is, yeah. So, again,
yeah, predatory lending is like a dark secret of capitalism that, you know, a lot of these people who get wealthy are getting wealthy off of the backs of people who are disadvantaged.
Yeah, and I forget, there's one hedge fund or company that owns like 80 or 90% of Puerto Rico's debt. It's like disgusting. And that's like, I should probably research that because I know a lot of people are trying to divest from that company or not work with that company because they're like the ones who also present a major stumbling block.
We will tell you who that company is in the footnotes.
Footnotes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back, and quick shout out to super producer
Anna
Hosnier, who is on AV Club's Podmas. If you guys don't know AV Club's Podmas, it's like a little section where they tell you about some good podcasts from that week, and they highlighted two podcasts, one episode of Ethnically Ambiguous, the one we talked about last week, We Are Syria.
You heard it.
An incredible episode of podcasting. They also highlighted an episode of the Bechdel Cast, which is a great podcast with Jamie Loftus and Caitlin Durante.
Foot Queen,
Jamie Loftus.
I saw that post about that.
Who was on that podcast? Who was the guest that?
It was also
super producer Anna Hosnier.
Look at you.
She is.
And full disclosure, all the time, Anna's like, no one listens to me. Yeah. No one listens to the show. Now you got the evidence, Ma. You doubled up on the write up on AV Club.
Yeah. But if you're not listening to Ethnically Ambiguous, I have to say, once again, you should be. It's one of the great podcasts being made currently. All right, guys, let's get into the news of the day. Mueller, his questions for Trump have leaked.
What?
It's a list of what, 40, 50?
49 questions.
49 questions.
Yeah.
That the effect these questions had on me, it was like almost a reality check where some of the things that I had digested and moved on from like a while ago are sort of put into the context of like a baseline of normalcy.
Like of what an investigation would look like into something like this.
And just like stuff, he has questions about behavior. He's like, so why'd you do that? Why'd you fire Comey? Why are you berating your attorney general in public on Twitter all the time? Just like asking those questions. It's like, oh yeah, these events that I have just like normalized in my mind are fucking crazy. And like completely the behavior of somebody who, you know, in the cold, sober light of morning is behaving like an actual guilty criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of sucks for Mueller, though, because it just gives Trump. Would Trump already get these?
So the way this worked is Mueller sat down with Trump's lawyers and said, here, in order, we want you to like have Trump meet with us. So we're going to give you the questions ahead of time. And they read these to them. And
well, did they read them though?
They told them the questions, and Trump's attorneys were taking them down, basically trying to write them down as fast as possible. So people are speculating because of the way the questions are worded. It's not fully like legal, and so there's also grammatical inconsistencies.
Right.
But so they think that these aren't actually from like Mueller's list of questions. These are Trump's attorney's sort of version, like what
right.
they heard.
Well, they said,
down.
Yeah, because the way that probably happened was that they sat with Mueller and he just broadly outlined these topics.
Right.
And then that's when they're like, okay, these are probably the questions that are going to be asked.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that's why, yeah,
he's not trying to do a gotcha thing. He's just saying, this is what I want to know, man.
Yeah. Like, but that's why John Dowd quit, because remember, he was trying to be like, dude, we cannot have Donald Trump answer any of these fucking questions because he will self-own and just lie his way through this thing, and it will be a major fucking problem.
Yeah, and I can't even imagine, like, these are such specific questions. Like, what did you mean when you told Russian diplomats on May 10th? Like, Trump doesn't even remember that, I bet.
Right.
Like, he's just, like, I mean, they're going to tell him what to say, but even if they tell him what to say, he's going to go off book
he
and
likes
be crazy.
He likes to freestyle, yeah. baby. He likes to jazz,
He likes
baby.
To go off top.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's many ways to, you know, kind of take this in. I think one thing is that it clearly, again, underlines the fact that Robert Mueller, he's got a plan. We've seen it with the way he's been seeding these investigations in other offices throughout New York and Virginia and things like that. But yeah, it seems like it's just getting hotter for Trump. And the fact is their defense to these kinds of things is getting worse and worse, because like Trump's like, well, these just prove like there's no collusion or anything. It's like, motherfucker, their question is directly talking about what knowledge did you have of any outreach by your campaign to Russia about potential assistance to the campaign?
Miles is doing very broad hand gestures.
Interlocking my fingers,
I guess,
like
things,
Legos.
Things like that, he could just be like, I had no, whatever. But
yeah.
Things like this are so hard, where they're like, what did you mean your interview with Lester Holt about Mr.
Exactly.
Comey in Russia? It's like, I'm trying to think how his lawyers...
He can't answer that in a way that's a defendible
right.
position.
Yeah, there
right.
is no way.
Yeah, Trump's response in Twitter was so disgraceful that the questions concerning the Russian witch hunt were leaked to the media. Leaked in quotes for some reason, because he
he's like,
don't know how to use those.
To me, that means that he leaked them or
right.
something.
Well,
leaked.
People are speculating it must have been from his side, because they are basically a moron's version of what these questions would be like. So they're clearly not like how Mueller would have written them. Then he says, no questions on collusion. Oh, I see. You have a made-up phony crime collusion that never existed and an investigation begun with illegally leaked classified information?
Right.
Nice.
Also, the other one of, it would seem very hard to obstruct justice for a crime that never happened. It's like his idea of obstruction, too, that it could be like, well, crime has to be committed. And then that's when you obstruct. It's like, no, you're trying to avoid justice, so you obstruct it
right.
so it doesn't touch you.
Yeah, you can't just be like, well, you didn't get me for that other crime, so I couldn't have been obstructing anything.
Hey,
like,
wait,
no,
what
that's
crime?
Obstructing.
In the interview, Robin was like, I'm sorry, oh, what other crime? Oh, nothing. I'm just saying, hypothetically, is what I would be doing.
Right. But yeah, he asks him about the Lester Holt thing. It is really just like, if you had asked me to spend a month just going back over the details of the case, a lot of these are like the questions I would have had, like, okay, so that clearly guilty thing you said, what did you mean by that?
Right.
Like, just very like open-ended.
I mean, right now, can we think of a way his lawyers could tell him to answer that? He's like, well, I was thinking about Russia when I fired him, but I was just like thinking about
like
it,
literally I was
itself.
Thinking about it as I said that.
Yeah.
Not that I was considering that as a motivation to him. Like, I'm saying,
it was just on my mind.
Yes, exactly. Like, I don't know. Yeah, it would be really weird. And that's too complex of a logical dance.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's a form of logical jujitsu that Trump has a white belt in. He's not ready to fucking, he's
I was
not ready to
about
roll.
Russia in the Napoleonic Wars.
Right, exactly.
For some reason, that's one question. So a lot of these are things that he's making reference to things we already knew about, but, you know, putting them in the context of, oh, yeah, these are things you would want to know about if you were trying to find out if a crime happened. One question that I was especially intrigued by, he asks what Trump knew about campaign aides, including the former chairman Paul Manafort, seeking assistance from Moscow, which implies that there is actual like knowledge of some form of contact from Paul Manafort and campaign aides like asking Moscow for assistance, which we don't have any evidence of. We don't know of the existence of any evidence of, but that question implies the knowledge of some evidence of that. Yeah.
Again, they must know so much. Because if you look at like people like Van der Swan or whatever, that one lawyer, and Rick Gates, who like lied thinking Robert Mueller doesn't know everything, and he just comes back, he's like, fam, I know you lied because I already have all the information.
Right.
Like, I can't imagine how close to the chest these cards are that even if like with these questions being asked, you know, what the direction of this investigation could truly go. And really, Robert Mueller really is the only person that knows.
I mean, do you think that the play here is that he like commits perjury in this interview and then that's how he takes him out?
I don't even think that's going to be the way it happens. I mean, it's not clear what could happen. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Would Congress be willing to do anything? You know, because their whole strategy is now just make sure the Democrats do not get the House so I don't get impeached an impeachment debate doesn't even begin. So
what do you guys think of how Comey was like, I don't want him to be impeached. I want the American people to vote him out so that that's like,
yeah, it's, you know? It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's kind of like there's like a wise dad aspect to that of sort of like, let's not use this as a get out of jail free card, because I think also for people who support Donald Trump, that will give them motivation to begin to cook up all kinds of conspiracies and whatever.
Yeah.
If whether he can just be, you know, somehow we can hamstring him by making sure that the Republicans no longer control Congress. Mm-hmm. And that way there's a better check on his power. That could be a good thing. But yeah, I can also see like by letting the process work in terms of voting him out might just be a more, it's like, look, people fucked up and voted for him. You made your bed, now sleep in it. But at the same time, God, fuck,
he's
the stakes
like,
are fucking high, man.
He's got so many more years to do fucked up shit.
I see what he's saying, and part of me wants to like be on board with it, but the other part too is like, yo, I don't want to even know what the worst of this presidency could be.
Yeah.
And that's the other part of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I could definitely see a scenario where nothing fully gets done, like even if Mueller completes his investigation, but the GOP just refuses to do anything about it. I could see a version of this where he only gets in trouble once the Democratic Party controls both branches of the government, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
we'll see.
Hey, we'll see. Because obviously, you know, Mitch McConnell he's not going to.
Cocaine Mitch.
Cocaine Mitch, man. He ain't gonna
so
do
what,
shit.
What was that? So we are officially 6 months out from the midterms. We talked last week about this weird thing that's happening in the Democratic Party where, you know, the people seem to be extra motivated. There's supposedly this blue tsunami coming, but they're motivated by progressive politics, like the idea of counterbalancing this huge sort of nationalistic,
autocratic,
hateful autocratic wave with a progressive wave. That seems to be where most of the energy is coming from on the Democratic side. And the Democratic Party is this old machine that is used to, you know, the way they determine whether somebody is a good candidate is how much access they have to fundraising, essentially.
Yeah.
And just the old, don't want to do anything party, like Michelle Wolf accurately pointed out. The current Democrats not really interested in rocking the boat too much because, again, there's this fear of that will always happen because there's this idea of like the McGovern effect that basically the Democratic nomination process, you know, can be if it's controlled too much by the far left, you know, then it's harder to win a general election because it's too far left.
Right. McGovern was a candidate who ran against Nixon when Nixon cheated with the whole Watergate thing.
Right.
But he got smashed in the election. It was the biggest electoral landslide ever because people think it was because McGovern, the Democratic candidate, was too far left.
Yeah. And so that's created this infighting where, man, the one thing that could actually fuck up the Democrats taking the House is this fucking infighting where they will consume each other in primaries because you will have the DNC or DCCC spending against other Democrats who are too far left. And that's the problem is that, you know, the people definitely are receptive to a very progressive agenda. But, you know, I think the establishment Democrats are just, they're like, but we can't mess this up. And oddly enough, you might mess it up by not just going with the flow.
Right.
But, you know, the good news is it's also happening on the right, too. because Don Blankenship, who is like this old mine owner from West Virginia, who we've talked about, who
spent 4 years in prison because he killed 29 people with just, you know, cost cutting and letting his mine be incredibly dangerous. Even though he had like, there were literally 500 safety violations in the years leading up to this mine collapse.
Right.
And he just actively was like, ignore, ignore, ignore. And then 29 people died and it's totally on his head.
Yeah. And he's going up against Joe Manchin, who used to be the governor of West Virginia. And like the Republicans just hate Blankenship because his reputation is just terrible in the state. And they're like, dude, we're going to fuck. There's no way we're going to claim this seat with this guy in there. Recently, this guy, Don Blankenship, has come through with some fire takes. First, I think he actually related to, you know, so Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, they're Chinese, and her father like owns a large shipping company, a Chinese shipping company. And Don Blankenship referred to him as a, quote, wealthy China person, really a PC term. And then recently he's starting to call it, like he was saying, we need to ditch cocaine Mitch. And people were like, what the fuck? What the fuck does Mitch McConnell have to do with the yay? apparently, this is tying to a story that was saying that the shipping company that his father-in-law owns was implicated in like a smuggling scheme from Colombia to Europe. They were hiding a bunch of yay like on these ships. So that means that Mitch McConnell is now the new yayo kingpin, which is all it takes. I mean, if Bill Clinton is the new Scarface, then I guess Mitch McConnell is the new Frank White.
I mean, just the possibility that story is true makes me like Mitch McConnell like eight times more, which just says mostly about how unlikable Mitch McConnell is because he's just such a lame.
Oh, that was my favorite Michelle Wolf joke of him getting his neck circumcised.
Yeah,
that shit was good.
I mean, I'm just sitting here trying to imagine him doing a line of coke
without his neck getting smearing up the whole line.
I feel like he would do it through his mouth.
No, he would have to use like a spoon. He can't tilt his head down. That his throat would just smear the lines.
He would get
up.
It mixed into a nice pudding so he could eat it. Like
he's
a
like,
citizen.
Oh, I prefer to boof it.
So an example of the Democratic conflict that we've been talking about is happening in the Georgia primary campaign right now. So there's a woman, Stacey Abrams, who is the former minority leader of the Georgia House of Representatives. She is running for governor right now, and they have their primary, and she is, you know, this forward-looking, you know, lots of popular support, and the Democratic Party has its eyes fixed on winning the white swing voters. She is a person of color, and
she would be the first black woman in the nation to be
governor. Would be the first black woman in the nation to be governor.
Wow, get in the way of that.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party is like, nah, she's too progressive. We need to win those white Trump voters back. And I actually recently heard a political operative talking about this strategy and being like, get this, there are some people on the left who want to just forego trying to win back the Trump voters. And it's like, no, but you don't want to make that your policy, is just like trying to focus on like,
yeah, to appeal to them when you have
appeasing to white racists.
Because you could just lose everyone, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. And like you have this huge wave of, you know, enthusiasm that you could be trying to surf, but instead you're like paddling against it and trying to fucking get to these people who aren't going to vote for you, like no matter what, because they have somebody who is just appealing to their basest instincts.
Right. And I think when you look at her, you know, her background, Stacey Abrams, like she's like a real person. She's not a bureaucrat. She's not a billionaire. The thing that people probably were really yearning for is not like they want an outsider, but they need an outsider of this class of elite people who are entitled. You need people who have come from planet Earth, who understand the value of $1, who understand what is at stake when you lose your job, who understand what is at stake when you're trying to raise a family, if you're a single parent or whatever. So many of these candidates are disconnected from that on both sides. And I think that's really what we, you know, I'm liking to see people who are like social workers who are starting to run now, because these are people who are actually interacting with the actual 99% of the country who are affected by legislation.
Did you know this? Like, this is the bottom of this New York Times article about her where it says, the math is clear. Black voters are a quarter of Democrats, and black women have the highest turnout.
Right.
I didn't know that. Black women are the highest percentage of Democratic voters of their whatever.
Yeah. Like, people of color have come out in droves, especially in these last couple special elections. I mean, especially when it comes to Roy Moore. Like, that was huge. And
I remember that. Yeah. Because everyone was like, thank black women.
Yeah.
Because, and I feel like the Democratic Party is just taking them for granted. And it's also one of these things.
But not in the Kanye way.
Right.
Yup.
They have to make themselves important. So these are fundraisers, and they are trying to see who can raise the most funds. And so, you know, they found this woman, Stacey Evans. They were like, we'll find our own Stacey. Stacey Evans is a millionaire, so they are Stacey's running her against Stacey Abrams.
A tale of two Stacey's.
So anyway, Stacey Abrams is a good candidate. We told you guys we'd tell you about some really dope Democrats. Check her out, and we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. And we wanted to go out on a couple food stories. Whole Foods is partnering with a chain called Yellow Fever.
Oh, cool.
What kind of food do they serve, Miles?
Man, I don't know. I just saw the tagline is like Asian bowls for your soul or some shit. This shit, Yellow Fever, I don't know what the fuck. First of all, their defense is a Korean American chef, and she's trying to take back the phrase,
which obviously is a reference to the fetishization of Asian women, typically by white men, or the terrible disease that will give you jaundice, hence yellow fever.
Or like the fact that people will be like, the black, white, yellow is Asians. Yellow is like the one, like people don't say that out loud. Like you'll be like, you're black, you're white, brown even for Indian people. Right. But yellow's a weird one where you don't, because it's like weird.
Yellow.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, the controversy basically started once this Whole Foods 365, the Whole Foods for Whole Foods. For broke millennials.
Right.
Still, you know, expensive.
Still way too
anyway,
expensive.
But they were basically had in their new Long Beach store in California, they built like one of these yellow fevers inside of the store. And then they tweeted it out like, oh, come check out Yellow Fever. And people were like, wait, what the fuck is this? because like, I mean, this place has been around apparently since 2014. And so I don't know.
Yeah,
it never really crossed my radar, but yeah, when I see that, I'm sure most Asian Americans too are like, "Fam."
This is part of a trend I've noticed in the Los Angeles area. Southern California has some wildly problematic sushi restaurant names. There was one near my house called Miso Fishy. I swear to fucking God, it was Fishy, like miso, like the miso soup, and fishy, but it was a play on the miso horny line from Full Metal Jacket.
Wow. When I was in Little Tokyo, I saw a therapist's office called Miso Sali, and that was really, no, I'm
I mean, I mean,
that's
I mean,
the kind of dumb shit that you would see.
I mean, their rationalization is similar to what black people use when saying, like, that's why we say the N-word, taking the power back from it, you know? But if we're going to use that logic for this, that would be like if I opened a restaurant called Nigga Soup or something.
Right.
Would people be okay with that? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Right. You know?
Jigaboo's Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm taking the power back. It's like, no, that's tacky.
Yeah.
It's weird. And it's your internalized hate is weird.
Yeah.
Because the same shit we were talking about, even with like the black dude who goes to the Trump rallies, who's like blacks for Trump, he called himself Michael the Black Guy. And it's like a way to, you know, you're tapping into like what white people be like, why can't I say that? But he says it's okay, so we got that cosign. And so if you got a cosign from an Asian person saying yellow fever, then everyone's like, well, what's the problem? And I get it. Maybe that's her prerogative to try and, you know, use yellow fever as a way to take back the power. But, like, even as a name for food, I don't want a sickness. I'm not walking in a place called
fucking gross.
Yeah.
So is like miso fishy. That's the thing that always bothered me is like you don't want your food to smell fishy.
Yeah.
Like nobody is like, I want some sushi that smells fishy.
But that's some first draft marketing idea right there. And again, it
was open for like a year and a half.
And again, it shows you, right? Just like the H&M bullshit or these other companies, when this dumb racist shit gets through the fucking pipes, you know there were meetings after meeting. Whole Foods is not going to be like, oh, that was a decision of this one guy in Long Beach. No, this went through many layers of approvals and discussions within the company internally, and that shit still got through. No one said, yo, the name is fucked.
Right.
Yo, full disclosure, does everyone know that you're half Asian?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm half Asian. I talk about it. I think most people do.
Good.
Half black. Thank you. African American. Half Japanese. How was I, must everybody? How you doing? But yes, that
so
is
we got a person of who is yellow talking about this.
Thank you. I'm pulling up for the yellow people. Ooh, that feels weird. Yeah. But yeah, again, it's just this fucking God. Like, whatever. Cool. Whole Foods. Come on, sort yourself out. You can do better than yellow fever. Also, shout out to my dad, who took the poster image for the Spike Lee film Jungle Fever, okay? Which is another about the black and white swirl.
Picture?
About the black hand and the white hand. Shout out to my pops.
He took that picture?
That is my father's photo.
Holy
cover, Jungle Fever.
Has he done a lot of movie posters?
My dad is fucking out here.
Dude.
His art is brolic as fuck. He was Michael Jackson's personal photographer.
Wow.
Check out his book, Before He Was King, on sale at Amazon. Thank you, Dad.
Dude, I'm going to. That's amazing.
Well, I'll get you a copy for free.
All right, I have to make my joke. Man, that would be like white people opening a restaurant called Cracker Barrel. All right, let's move on.
Hey. Oh, hey, there he is.
All right.
Damn. You should write for Dennis Miller.
good restaurant, by the way.
That's like a restaurant for white people called Cracker Barrel.
Underrated Dennis Miller shop. So hard, man. But everybody else has made fun of him enough that we don't need to make fun of him here on this. But that guy's the fucking worst.
The best is also check out Connor O'Malley's version of Dennis Miller. It's ridiculous.
Connor O'Malley's so funny. All of his stuff.
Remember
online.
His vines?
Oh, they're so great. Did you see his short film that's about like the two guys in Jersey who like go to the casino?
I haven't seen it yet. I saw the other one where he's trying to go to Fox News to get a position.
This one's so good.
Guys, check out the comedian Connor O'Malley. I think he writes for
He writes for Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
He just married Adie Bryant.
Oh, that's
SNL.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Power couple. That lovely power couple. All right, and then last thing we wanted to cover, Oreos. What are you guys' thoughts just in general
in
on
general,
Oreos?
I prefer Hydrox.
I kind of stopped.
Nobody prefers Hydrox.
I don't even know what that is.
That's an old proof. Let's let the old men talk about Hydrox over here.
So Hydrox is a cookie that looks exactly like Oreos, except like the imprint on the cookie says Hydrox instead of Oreos, and they taste a little bit worse, and people assume that Hydrox copied off of Oreos. Hydrox was around first. Oreos copied off of Hydrox.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Oreo just killed them because Hydrox sounds like a horrible chemical.
No, it does. It sounds like some shit you would use to like disinfect a fucking surgical area.
Or it sounds like the enemies of G.I. Joe.
Hydrox.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Or Small Soldiers, that movie. Shout out to Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah. But yeah, I think, I mean, I like them. I used to fucking be obsessed with them. Full disclosure, the way I would eat them is I would do the deferred gratification where I would just eat the top cookies and then finish off just the bottom half with the cream.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I'll get that out of the way because I like the cream.
I would take the top half off one, do a sandwich Big Mac style.
Oh,
so it's like three cookies, two creams.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the perfect amount.
Wow, and then you got that loose one being all sad by itself.
Yeah. I haven't eaten Oreos in like 10 years, so I don't really
Let me tell you something. You're about to jump back on because Oreos is coming out with the fucking craziest flavors in China. So the thing was, in 1996 is when Kraft introduced Oreos to the Chinese market. And let's just say it was a total flop. People really weren't fucking with them. And it was like, quite literally, Kraft was losing money on literally every cookie because like it was just nobody was into it. So they've had to go back in the lab and figure out we need to tune this up so it's more appealing to the palate of the Chinese people. And so now they're rebranding, and the new style is called Jif Jaf. And let me tell you, man, these flavors are going to blow your socks off. Now, the first one. Now, in the advertising, it's weird. They're giving each flavor a personality. So there's the matcha character, which is calm and zen-like. Then there's a chili flavor, which is a thrill seeker. And cheese is a ladies' man. So I don't know how you're going to start eating cheese-filled Oreos, but guys, brace yourselves.
So the cookie is different. Still chocolate?
I think. I mean,
yeah,
I haven't seen
pictures.
Look
at these right here. I'm looking at the, I just clicked through to this, and it has the commercial, and it's like chocolate, and the middle is cheese.
Yeah.
Let them know.
I mean, this, like, I was thinking, is chocolate and cheese a weird combo? But then I guess we have cheesecake that has chocolate on it.
Right.
So that's not so crazy, but we just haven't seen
it. But it's not like the bite of, like, a cheddar. You know what I mean? You're not pairing cheddar with, like, a nice Swiss chocolate.
Also, chili is
weird. Way more into sweeter things than I think a lot of Asian countries are in their palate.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. Japan, yo, there's shit out there that I went to diabetic shock eating one bite.
For real?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean
desserts are litty.
Koreans do not fuck with sweet stuff.
Chili is a flavor.
Right.
So chili in between chocolate?
I don't.
It says chili is a thrill seeker.
Yeah, I hope it's like a chili pepper, you know what I mean? Because I like the
pepper,
spicy.
Babe.
Yeah, the pepper, babe. I like the spice with the chocolate, babe. Like Oaxacan's chocolate with the little chili.
But if
it's like Ben's chili bowl in D.C., like I'm not eating like a fucking Tommy burger with
the way
chocolate
that
cookies.
The way it looks like in this commercial is like it's like not actually like chili as in like a bowl of chili, but like the chili pepper.
Yeah, so it's like just, red or something?
Yeah, it's just red and hot.
All right. I mean, I'd eat a hot Oreo.
Yeah.
I'll eat spicy.
I would try it.
I mean,
for sure.
I feel like that could have a market here because people love hot Cheetos. Why wouldn't they like hot Oreos?
Yeah.
Oh,
if they went like Red Hots, like those candies that are like spicy, like you did that.
I don't
because
like those.
No, I don't either. Like they're terrible. But they did do Oreos that were Swedish fish. The filling was Swedish fish. Did you ever try that?
I went to this place.
Swedish fish.
Have you guys been to the Museum of Failure before?
Oh, hey, Jack, raise both of your arms. Smile, please.
Have you guys been there, Museum of Failure?
No.
It's an exhibit. I think it's still open. It's over
It's my childhood bedroom.
It's over.
My mom's house.
It's over on Hollywood Boulevard, like near the mall over there.
Highland?
Yeah, Hollywood and Highland. It's in there, and they have a whole wall that's just every Oreo flavor. And Swedish fish was in there. And there were some other ones where I was like, gross.
Yeah, Swedish fish was gross. But it basically tasted like you put an Oreo and a Swedish fish in your mouth at the same time. Like, they nailed the Swedish fish flavor. It was just not a flavor that you want mixed with Oreos. So
that's kind of...
You do the Red Hots, maybe?
Oreos are vegan, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Oreos are vegan.
Yeah,
really?
Probably.
Yeah.
They probably
are. That's how unnatural this shit is. We have you thinking there might be dairy. Nah, just some... some emulsions we cooked up in
the
lab.
Do you think, like, is there anyone who's vegan who's like, oh, glad Oreos are vegan?
They're
a big part of my diet.
Yeah, because, I mean, you need to have the ability to just murder yourself with some unhealthy shit.
I love that there's people that are like, just because I'm vegan doesn't mean I'm healthy.
Right? Hell no. Yeah.
I just eat vegan.
Yeah. Right. Just don't fuck with meat.
Yeah.
Binium, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
No, thank you so much for having me.
Where can people find you?
You can find me. What's that song? I just started singing.
You can find me in St. Louis rolling on dubs. Or, you can find me in the club. Bottle full of bub.
The one I was thinking of was something like, you can find me on the back. Because I'm a rider. You know that song?
Because I'm a
soul survivor.
Oh, okay.
That song. Anyway, you can find me actually Twitter or Instagram at BiniamBiz. BiniamBiz. And I'll put stand-up shows on there and stuff, so you can check them out.
Miles, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and IG at Miles of Gray.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. We are at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. And we also link off to the song we ride out on, which, Miles, what is it going to be for today?
I mean, look, apparently, you know, people are wilding out all over the world, and we're just kind of talking about how the system has got us down in this country. So I want to play a track by J Dilla off Donuts. One of my favorites, actually, on Donuts, called Anti-American Graffiti. And this one, just a great one. I forget what the sample is. It might be from an Australian group. I can't quite remember who the sample is, but this is Anti-American Graffiti from J Dilla off the Donuts album. And if, guys, if you still haven't heard Donuts, sit down, turn the lights off, and listen to Donuts, and know that this man made this album as he was dying in bed.
When did this come out?
Donuts came out in 2006. So this is a 12-year-old album.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. Talk to you guys then. Bye.
You bet your life, baby. That's right, I'm down here with the world's most popular drinking areas, you understand? Everything is nice, and they do it right. And everybody here is waiting for the $1 million jackpot number to come up, man. And you know, there's a lot of sincere confusion about just what the doctor said. Too much too soon. Responsibility, bigger. Say it, say it. Too much to do.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.